I think Sean is there. G'day, Sean. How are you?
G'day. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, good. And what's it like out there while the Labourites are gathering at the gambling den?
It's good. We've got some folks from various protest groups also protesting the war submarines, the submarines in the war, and also the refugee policies. So there's a lot of activists here. We're here to try and convince Labor attendees to vote progressive on housing policy within the, you know, internal caucusing. We've got a bunch of suggestions on how to improve the housing policy in Vic. We're doing our best.
Yeah, well, Sean, tell us some of your suggestions. I mean, I can guess on some of them, but I'd love you to tell my listeners what would make the housing issue in Victoria fairer, more equal, and better.
So we've got 10 recommendations. First one is rent price caps, pretty big one, pretty popular one right now. Another one is banning rent increases until 2025. Again, allow chance for inflation to catch up and wages to catch up. From 2026, limit rent increases to 30% of the median wage index every 12 months. We also want to improve minimum standards. Air conditioning is not a minimum standards yet, and it's going to get hotter. We want air conditioning and better energy efficiency in there. We also want to expand, like, the regulation and life of property managers and landlords. Rental properties are not on a registry or anything, so it makes it really hard to enforce things like the vacant land tax. We also want to restrict Airbnb, short stay rentals, that kind of thing, because, again, they're causing the housing crisis to spiral out.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I went to a seminar that said that in a country town like Apollo Bay, they are unable to actually supply housing to professionals who they need in the town because of the high rate of B&Bs in that town. So they can't attract police, they can't attract nurses, they can't attract doctors, they can't attract teachers because there's nowhere for them to live.
Yeah, it's a huge problem in regional towns, especially. I mean, it's big in the cities as well, but regional properties, you know, there's less properties of them in regional areas and more of them percentage-wise are becoming Airbnb for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite extraordinary, and it's one of the things that, I mean, it's great work you guys are doing at Renters and Housing Union, because you actually do bring to the fore, you do a lot of hard work to get people to understand what's really going on out there for people trying to find places to live.
Yeah, we, I mean, what we do mostly is like renters' rights advocacy. So the people who are coming to us are generally people in really hard situations dealing with hard problems with their landlord. And even though they're trying to fight within the system, they realise that the sort of system is stacked against them, and we need to do more for greater change and greater protections for renters.
Yeah, exactly. Are you getting any positive feedback from people going in?
It's early days yet, and we haven't really had too many conversations with renters, unfortunately. A lot of people have been homeowners and landlords, which maybe says a bit about the makeup of the Labor Party. We don't really know. It's still early days yet. We're hoping we'll have some good conversation with renters soon.
Well, it has been pointed out that an awful lot of the people who are in Parliament do have a lot of investment properties.
Oh, yeah. One thing we find very interesting is the Minister for Consumer Affairs, Victoria, Danny Pearson, owns 4 properties. Consumer Affairs are in charge of regulating landlords. I mean, there's plenty of cases where this is like could be seen as a conflict of interest.
Obviously, in not this federal election but the last, trying to tighten up restrictions around speculation on housing and things like investment property didn't necessarily go particularly well for the Labor Party. What do you think the future looks like moving forward in terms of making it harder for people to own 12 investment properties so that people who need to rent and people who need to buy can't get their foot on the property ladder?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, I think, is scrapping negative gearing. You know, Victoria's introduced a tax for additional properties, right? But that's going to be fronted onto the renter without rent caps. You know, they'll just raise the rent to match whatever extra tax they're paying. And the other thing is giving tax breaks as well as tax benefits. Sorry, taxing as well as giving tax breaks to additional properties, which just makes sense.
Well, as someone from Prosper said, it's like mainlining tequila, these taxes.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because what happens is, I mean, it sounds great on paper, but what happens for the poor old renter is that they just go up. The rent just goes up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we fear with a lot of these ways of taxing landlords or putting the buck onto landlords, because without, yeah, as I said, without rent caps, it just gets pushed onto the renter, any taxes, any market forces, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to us at your busy work, because that's important work that you're doing out there.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.